Thank you, Abby, for that, for again reminding us of Jesus is the grace of God, God with us. You know, I started this series, I told you this last week as I started preparing for this series, The Gifts of God. Thank you, Jimmy. Begin to reflect on all that's happened this year in our world, in our country, but in each of, and also in each of our individual lives and the lives of the people of this community and the people of the Rock. And so I was really struggling with, you know, God, how do I teach and talk about these gifts of hope and peace and joy and love with so much going on in everybody's lives and in relationships, with the brokenness that we see in our world, with the pain and the hurt that that we've experienced, so many of us have experienced this year, and so many experienced during this season of the year. And so I was really struggling with that, and then as I was preparing, I realized that I must teach and preach and talk about these gifts. As I said last week, you see, the only thing that can break through the brokenness of, you know, our world, the hurt, the pain, the things that we struggle with, the only thing that can break through those things and is, you know, are the gifts of God. You see, it's through the gift of hope through Jesus Christ that you and I are able to have the strength to continue on and to never give up. It's through the gift of peace that comes through Jesus Christ that we're able to experience a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that is not like the world, you know, what the world calls peace, but it's a peace that we can almost experience and feel the very presence of God and feel His arms wrapped around us, a peace that passes all understanding. It's through the gift of joy through Jesus Christ that we're able to have this unspeakable joy in spite of the circumstances of our lives and of what we're going through. You see, it's through the gift of love through Jesus Christ that you and I can begin to experience a love that says He will never leave us or forsake us, that He will always be with us. It's that unconditional forever love of God through Jesus Christ. And so we are, you know, I'm just praying that God is speaking to you through each of these gifts that we're talking about. And today we're going to talk about the gift of joy, and I want you to experience that. But I know that, just as I said last week, if it's a message about peace, well, then it has to be a message about Jesus. And it's the same with joy. If it's going to be a message about joy, well, then it's got to be a message about Jesus. So I know that you'll never experience that unspeakable joy that God's Word talks about until you are in a personal forever relationship with Him and until you are surrendering everything to Him. And so let God speak to your heart as we talk about His joy today. And you know, I love, you know, as I always say, I love Christmas. And, you know, I think the greatest joy that we see around Christmas is always through our children. You know, if you saw the joy of those two here this morning, and now I have grandchildren, so I get to, you know, I'm getting to see the joy of Christmas again through their eyes. And I love just to watch, you know, the children at Christmas. And I love to read some of their letters to Santa. You ever kind of, you know, go online and just read kids' letters to Santa? Let me just share a few of them with you and see if I can begin to bring some joy into your hearts this morning. Here's one from Mike Jr. I don't know how old Mike Jr. is, but this is a revised Santa list. I don't know what that means, but he wants some Black Ops. He wants a PS4, hoverboard, a golden watch, Mike Jr. wants, you know, and $29. I don't know why it's specifically $29, but that's what he wants, right? And then three golden chains. And so I love that, right? And here's another one. This is kind of long. I don't know if you can read it. I'm going to read it here. It says, Dear Santa, me and my little brother have been trying our best to be good. I mean, just notice the spelling there if you can, right? But the first thing I would like to be is an elf on a shelf. I have been practicing. I can sit on a shelf for like a half hour so far. And my brother Michael, he would love to be a reindeer. In fact, he's practicing right now. He can fly 2 inches. Here's what I really want for Christmas. And then my favorite is this one here. Dear Santa, how are you and the reindeer doing? I'm doing fine. I want a new football game and football because my little brother's always trying to steal mine. He may look sweet, but he is the devil. He highlighted that too. Also on a remote control truck. Love heaven. By the way, God, Jesus, how do you get into my house at Christmas? You know, just the joy of children at Christmas. The joy of not only receiving gifts, but also giving gifts. I mean, you know, you can watch our children love to give gifts as well. And I told the students Wednesday night that the best Christmas gift I ever received was Christmas 1972, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he changed me, really, forever. And Christmas became for me more than just the acknowledgement of the incarnation of God, right? More than just God coming to live on earth through the birth of Jesus. For me, it became on that day in 1972. It became the joyful celebration of the fact and of the understanding. Not only had Jesus come to earth as a baby, but he also now had come to live inside of me. God, I begin to understand, wants to live on the inside of each one of us. And here's what I've discovered over the years of being in relationship with my Jesus, is that when Jesus lives in here, well, then joy will come out of you. It can't stop. When Jesus lives in you, joy comes out of you. I love how Mary shares that with us. As we begin in that Christmas story with Mary, you know, the angel appears to her and she finds out that she's going to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah, and that she's going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And can you just imagine the fear, the confusion, trying to understand all that? And I love what she says there, in chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1 there, where she says, and she gets to that place where she says, you're my servant, I'm your servant, whatever you want. So be it, so be it. And then she begins to express her joy. In the midst of all that going on, trying to explain to people and the shame that maybe was going to come from that, she begins to express her joy. I realize that Mary's the only one that had Jesus living in her physically, but also had Jesus eventually living in her spiritually. And because Jesus was in here, there was a joy expression, even in uncertain times, even in not understanding. Listen to what she says. They call it the Mary song, verse 46 through 49. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." And here it is. "My spirit rejoices." And I think in that moment, she began to rediscover or discover her joy. It says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." You see, when Jesus lives in you, joy comes out of you. It's really what the Christmas story is all about. And so I want to start there this morning. I want to start with you, sharing the Christmas story with you again, maybe in a little bit different way. I want us to look at it through the eyes of children. And I love this. This is my favorite Christmas video now. And so we I don't know if I've showed it to you before, but it's worth seeing over and over again. It's the Christmas story through the eyes of children from a church in Kentucky. Watch this.
An angel came to see me. Mary, she was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, "Mary, you're gonna have, Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby, and you will call him Jesus." And then Mary was like, "I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager, and I'm not married." Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, "This donkey's fast." They tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
We have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed.
When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night.
And then the wise men heard about it, and then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Don't you love that, right? This little baby is gonna change the world. The joy of Christmas, right? The joy of Christmas. And so let me just start off with the definition of joy. We've talked about joy many times, and we know that joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness is external. It depends on things, you know, circumstances happening to us, whether we're going to be happy or not. But joy is internal, right? Joy, it comes from the inside through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it is a joy that we can have in spite of our circumstances. So here's my definition. I say this, joy can be defined as the positive confidence that I feel from knowing and trusting God regardless of the circumstances. Joy. Regardless of what I may or may not be going through, regardless of what may or may not happen in the details of our day, God's priority is to produce joy in your life and in mine. When that kind of joy comes aboard your life, it brings good things with it. It brings enthusiasm for life. It brings a determination to hang in there, a strong desire to be an encouragement and a servant to others. It's the kind of joy that gives us hope as we face the future, and peace that passes all understanding, and true contentment in spite of our problems. Jesus came into the world to bring us joy. And so the word joy deserves a closer look, I think. When you first look at the word without a closer look, it's easy for us to kind of just write off joy as something that's just not possible for our lives. But look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. And so really we have two choices, right? We can be joy takers or we can be joy givers. And as followers of Christ, we must be joy givers always. Always. I mean, you look at that verse if you had a particular tough week, be honest with me, when you hear that verse, does that verse kind of bug you? It does me. When you go through something that's really difficult and it's kind of a tough week, he says, always be joyful. Always? God, yeah, even in my tough weeks, do I always want to be joyful? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can always be joyful. And for some of you, because of the kind of week you had, or the kind of month, or the kind of year that you've come through, you even walked in here this morning, feeling kind of bad, right? You had a tough week. And you feel rotten. You don't have any joy. I don't want to make you raise your hand, but you don't really have any joy right now. And you have a right. You have a right to feel that way. And nobody's going to take it away from you, right? I mean, we can sing Joy to the World at Christmas. And even when we sang that song this morning, I go, to the world? I mean, that means everyone. That means everywhere. Is that really possible? Joy in this world? I mean, there are a couple of things, I think, that keeps us from feeling like that's even a possibility. Things that you and I face on a daily basis, like the bad that shouldn't happen. I mean, we all have to admit that a lot of the bad things that happen in our lives, we bring them on ourselves, right? Some of those things, probably for some of us, most of those bad things, right? But there are bad things that happen to us and in this world that just shouldn't happen. I mean, we didn't bring it on ourselves. No one deserved it. You know, that person was innocent. And because of that, we wonder, can joy really happen in this world? And then alongside that, you put the second thing, not only the bad that shouldn't happen, but also the good that doesn't happen. The good things that we want to happen that don't happen in our lives. Maybe the dreams that we have that doesn't seem to be able to come true in our lives. Or maybe the heart of that one that we'd hoped to change in some way that never seems to change. Or the prayer that we pray that doesn't seem to ever get answered. Or at least not the way we want it to get answered. I mean, you look at these real life truths that we have to face every day and you realize if joy is going to work, you can't wait for perfect circumstances, because we do not live in a world of perfect circumstances. If joy is going to work, it has to work in an imperfect, often ugly world. And I really believe that's what the message of Christmas is all about. That God came to this often ugly world, and in Jesus Christ, He told us joy can happen even here. Even in this kind of world in which we live. Even in your kind of world, joy can happen. Because of the kind of world that we live in, I mean, we can choose to be discouraged. We can choose to be a discouraged person because there's a lot to be discouraged about. We can choose to be an angry person because there's a lot to be angry about in this world. You can choose to be a cynical person because there's a lot to be cynical about. But the message of Christmas is, because Jesus came, you and I can choose to be a joyful person because there's a lot to be joyful about. And as we end this year and we step into a new year, I so want it to be a new choice, a new day, because what Jesus Christ has done, we can choose joy. And so how do we do that? How do we choose that joy? And I've said it, we got to focus on only what God can do, the joy that He can bring. In Nehemiah 8, the Old Testament passage says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where our joy must come from. It's the joy of the Lord that we have the strength to go forward each day. And so this morning, I want to let some guys show us how to choose that joy. Today, some guys who were a part of the first Christmas, my favorite characters, some of my favorite characters of the first Christmas, the shepherds. You know, they were out in the field near Bethlehem, and God brought them a message of joy, right? And they made some choices, some simple choices, kind of the same kind of choices that you and I can make today that bring joy into our lives. And so do you want to have joy? Well, joy comes when you hear and receive the good news. Have you ever really been down and all of a sudden your phone rings and you pick it up and it's good news? And all of a sudden, even for a moment, you're kind of lifted. Your spirit's kind of lifted up because, you know, the caller is giving you some good news. That's the power that good news has to bring. That's the power how it has to bring joy into our lives. It's the kind of thing that happened to these shepherds in that first Christmas. Luke 2, verse 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Good news of great joy for all people. And then in verse 11 it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's the good news of great joy, right? For unto you. It's saying it's personal, that you and I matter to God. That God designed Christmas with you in mind. That He came personally for you. The Savior was born unto you. It's personal. Again, that blows my mind that somehow God was thinking about me when He came. What He did for me. What He gave for you. What He suffered for your sake and my sake. And when I begin to understand it, it's personal. John 3:16 becomes even more amazing to me. For unto you is born. It's miraculous. Jesus stepped out of heaven to restore us, to rescue us, to reveal to us. It's miraculous. For unto you is born this day. It's immediate. Because God wants it to happen in you today, this moment. For unto you is born this day a Savior. A Savior. To save us from what? To save us from, from hell, from a meaningless, unfulfilled, unpassionate life? Yes. He looked at our sinfulness and our fallenness, and He knew that we needed a Savior, so He sent one. He sent one. You've heard this before. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator, right? If the greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need, and I always put my greatest need, was for forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. Not just for the shepherds, but for all. It's the message of good news, of great joy. I mean, they're just out there watching the flock, a pretty boring job, right? Jesus, sheep aren't that exciting to look at when they're awake. But these sheep were asleep. I mean, it was night. It was not a very exciting time. And all of a sudden, in that routine, ordinary life, God brought through a message of joy. Just like He wants to do for some of us today. Maybe you think this morning you just showed up. Right? You just kind of sort of showed up here or online. But listen, God wants to bring you a message of joy. In the middle of that life, God came and He said, "Hey, I want to bring you some good news of great joy." And what is that good news? That Jesus came. The good news is that Jesus Christ wants to make a difference in our lives. The good news of great joy is the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth to tell us that God loves us. The good news of great joy is that God, offers forgiveness for the wrong things that we've done and a new sense of direction in our lives. The good news of great joy is that God cares for the struggles you're going through. And He wants to make a difference. The good news of great joy is that God has invited you to have a relationship with Him. He's inviting you to discover what He is like. And so it's as if He's already called us, right? It's as if He's already called. I mean, that's what Christmas is saying. God called. He came to this earth in Jesus. He's calling you. He called you. It's kind of like a voicemail, right? You leave a voicemail and you can't wait to see who left you a message. You know, he's done that, and now He's waiting for you to call Him back. He's inviting you to hear and receive the good news. Have you done that? I mean, He's already sent that to you. He's waiting for you to reply. I mean, wouldn't it be strange if you're sitting here and your phone goes off and you look at it and it says, God? That'd be weird, right? I mean, what would you do? I mean, that would be a different experience. What would you do if that happened? It has happened. That's what Christmas is all about. And the way you respond is you talk to Him in prayer. And you say, I want this good news of great joy to be a part of my life. Good news brings great joy into our lives. And I think one of the problems is the joy that we have here, and when we talk about it, only seems to last as long as the good news lasts, right? Joy only seems to last as long as the good news. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Sometimes it only seems to last for a few moments. And so how do you find the kind of joy that can last the rest of your life? How do you find the good news that can last the rest of your life through any circumstances of life? I mean, you look at your life and say, you know, my life is filled with problems, you know, filled with struggles. Is there any good news in that? There is, if you know Him. James 1, 2 through 3 says this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So joy isn't in the troubles. You know, I'm not joyful that I have trouble. I mean, who would be joyful, you know, in the troubles? The joy is the fact that God can work even through the struggles of life. And as I put my faith in Him to help me grow, to help me change, He helps me become more and more like Him. That's the good news. Joy is not having perfect circumstances. Otherwise, none of us could have joy. Joy is not just smile, right? And the world will smile with you. No. Joy is not every cloud has a silver lining. Because some clouds don't. Some clouds are big and black and dark, right? Followed by other big and black and dark clouds. Aren't you glad you came today so that I can encourage you? That's the truth of life, though, right? And so how do you find joy in that? That's the question. When things aren't going well, joy is not having perfect circumstances. Joy is applying God's truth and God's power to our imperfect circumstances in this imperfect world. I share with the students, you know, sometimes I think about it like this, and those of you who are parents, you've experienced this maybe if you've ever been to Chuck E. Cheese. Anybody ever gone to Chuck E. Cheese? You played the, I don't even know what the name of the game is, whack an alligator game. You ever played that game? Where you whack the alligator. You know, the alligator comes out, pops his head out, and you know, and the little hole, and you hit it, and it goes back in, and you get a ticket every time you hit it, and it goes back in, right? And you know, it's just a great way to experience joy. In the midst of junk, you know, just hit it. And then they start coming out faster and faster and faster, right? And so, you know, when we were there with both my guys, you know, all of us are trying to hit them all together. You know, sometimes you need people to come around you in the midst of the struggles and the alligators of life to help you pop those things, and right? And move them back in and away from you. That's how you experience joy in imperfect circumstances. When the alligator of a difficult problem comes out, you whack it. You whack it with the truth that God loves me no matter what. The truth that God's growing me even in this and through this situation. And even though the problem is still there, at least the bite goes out of it. It goes back into its hole. And you know, if you're going to experience that joy, you're going to have to sometimes have people come around you and help you in the midst of those problems. The good news is that God loves you, that He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to forgive you and give you an eternity with Him. That is good news with great joy. And when you begin to hear that and receive that, whatever else is happening in life, the result will be joy. And the shepherds teach us that. They also teach us that not only does it start, that joy comes from hearing and receiving the good news, it continues when you begin to obey the good news. These shepherds heard that God left them to go and find a baby. Heard God tell them to go and find a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger, you know, a feeding trough for a cow. And He said, go, and they did it. And when they did, they found joy. Look at verse 15, Luke 2, verse 15. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Why do you think they go? I think it's because they believed what God had said. And because they believed what God had said, they went to Bethlehem. I just think about it. You know, what if they didn't obey? I mean, they could have spent the rest of their lives wondering. You know, they could have said, I don't know if that's true. I'm just going to stay here in the fields outside of Bethlehem. And maybe they had never... Maybe they didn't go. And what if they would always be wondering what would have happened that night if we had gone to see what the angels told us about? These guys trusted what God had said, and they went. And maybe there's some of us that it's easy for us to get stuck in the fields outside of Bethlehem. You hear God say to you, trust me with your life. Trust me with this decision. Trust me with this relationship. But you stay there. And you wonder, you know, what would have happened if I had obeyed? What would have happened if I had trusted? And maybe this has happened for you years ago, right? Let me just say to you this morning, it is never too late to trust Him. It's never too late to go to Jesus Christ and find hope in Him. Never too late. And so you don't have to wonder any longer. Today may be your day to trust Him. Today may be your day to ask Him to help you with a decision. Today may be your day to ask Him to give you the strength in that relationship. You don't have to wonder. Christmas is the method that joy can happen in our lives. And joy happens in our lives when you and I decide to do and obey and trust what God has said to do. Psalms 19:8 says, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. God's commandments, God's principles bring joy. I mean, if I was to say to you the Ten Commandments, the next word that you would think of would not automatically be joy, right? If I would say Ten Commandments, you wouldn't immediately think of joy. What you might think of, what would you think of if I say Ten Commandments? Some of you might think, restricted. We might think, well, those are good. Or we might think, man, they're hard, they're difficult. The first thing we think of is definitely not joy. But you see, God gave us these commandments. these directions, these principles in life to give us joy. He's our maker. He's our creator. He knows how we're wired. He knows how we work. And because of what he says, you know, he says, here's the direction for your life. Not to ruin our life or to mess up our life, but to give our life joy. If you and I would follow and trust and obey his principles, his direction, he's going to give you the most joyful life possible. That's the kind of life he wants to give. And so joy comes when you hear and receive the good news. It comes when you do what God says to do. And then thirdly, the shepherds remind us that joy comes when you share the good news. When you tell someone else the good news about what God's doing in your life, it brings joy. It's a principle of joy. It can't be bottled up. I mean, if you try to put a cap on joy, it's going to sour it every time. It has to be shared. Look at the shepherds and you know how they immediately shared the good news about what God is doing. Verse 17 in chapter 2, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They went out immediately and they told everybody, right? We need to tell someone else. It's what you and I need to do. To share the good news of great joy that God has given us through the birth of Jesus Christ. Psalms 107:22 says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So with joy, we tell what God has done in our lives. You tell someone in your family, at work, or at school, joy is what happens when you tell someone the good news. Some of you understand that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's almost this indescribable burst of joy that happens when you share with someone else the good news of what God has done in your life. Because you care about them. You want them to experience the same good news. When you share that with them, you can't describe the kind of joy that comes out of that. It's kind of a multiplying kind of joy. Luke 15 tells us that there was such a burst of joy when they told the good news to other people. You know, in that story where about the 99 sheep, it says, I tell you, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 good people who don't need to change. You see, when you tell someone the good news, when you accepted the good news that it changed everything in your life, it was such an incredible change. And you know, and the Bible says that not only that people on earth rejoice, but all the angels rejoice when you made that decision in your life. And the joy of telling the good news is the joy of telling someone everything in their lives can change, that they can be and experience a forever relationship with God. You know, not every circumstance, not every trouble, not every problem, but everything about you can change. You can be forgiven. You can have a fresh start in life. God can give you a new strength for your struggle, a new hope for your future. And that's what joy is all about. It's a choice. It's a choice. I see some of your faces, and you know, some of you are going or have gone through difficult days, real struggles, yet your lives are filled with joy. You have chosen to have joy even in difficult circumstances. In spite of the circumstances, you're listening to the good news, and you're doing what God says, and you're telling other people. You've chosen to set your heart on the kind of joy that only God can bring into our lives. And that's where joy comes from. You choose to hear something and do something and say something. You hear the good news, you do what God says, and you tell other people. So what if this coming year, you begin to live your life that way? What if you spent less so you could give more? You know, what if you, when we have opportunity to go and visit those that are in the nursing homes, what if you went and you sang songs of joy and you loved on the people there? What if you went into the Waffle House and you ordered a small amount of food, but you gave a big tip? What if we really did go to the firehouses and the police stations and give out cookies, not just at Christmas time, but and we express the joy that we have in Christ through the giving to others? What if in this coming year you and I decide to be joy givers at every opportunity that we have? Because here's what I know. When joy lives in you, joy is going to come out of you. And I really believe as we step forward into 2021, that that's what God is calling us to do. To be joy givers. To understand that people are struggling and hurting and are going through difficult times. And instead of allowing the circumstances to drag us down, we are going to allow the joy of Christ to lift us up. And we as His people are going to be joy givers. We're going to share the joy of Christ with others because we understand that joy isn't based on our circumstances. It's based on Christ. It's in the Lord that you and I can find a joy that really lasts. I mean, He's already called you, right? He's already connected with you. That's what Christmas is all about. He wants to have a relationship with you. And so my question is today, will you choose joy? Will you let there be joy? And will you let it begin in you? Pray with me, please. We always come to this time that we have opportunity to respond. And maybe for some of you this morning, it's for the, maybe it's for the first time. And for you today, you need to say to God, you need to say, God, I do need to trust you. That you realize it's not about just religion, that it's about a relationship with your God. And that's what Christianity is. And so right now where you are, you need to say, God, I need to trust you. I need to trust you with the wrong things I have done. I need to trust for your forgiveness. I need to trust you for direction. And maybe you've been thinking about it for a long time. And maybe right now it's just hitting you for the very first time in this moment. God's gift to you this Christmas is a gift of good news, of great joy. A gift that says He wants a relationship with you. And so right where you are right now, it just starts by talking to Him in prayer and by trusting Him and by telling Him this Christmas is your Christmas. To say, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life. I want to accept your gift of joy. I want to accept your gift of strength. I want to accept your gift for power in my life today. Say to Him right now in your heart. Say something like, Jesus, I need you. I want you to be a part of my life, the center of my life. Thank you that not only were you born into this world, But right now, I'm asking you to be born in my life. Thank you for going to a cross so that I could be forgiven. And right now, I need you to begin to direct and guide my life. I want to experience your joy. Not just the temporary happiness that I've been chasing, but God, your joy. And the best as I know how, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I'm trusting my life to you. Thank you for giving yourself to me. If you prayed that prayer, you can know with a joy in your heart that right now you are his child. He wants to begin to transform you and to give you the joy that is unspeakable, that allows you to go out of this place and begin to share the good news of how Jesus changed your life and now he wants to change others. Father, for those of us who know you as Lord and as Savior, God, would you bring your joy into our hearts, especially this Christmas season and into this new year? God, may we, through your strength, be joy givers. God, may we be a people that in spite of our circumstances, we know that we can have your joy in us because of our relationship with you. And God, that good news, God, it is so strong in us that we want to live our lives for you in obedience to you in every area of our lives. So help us, Father. And God, as we step into this Christmas season and into this new year, would you give us the courage to share that good news with others? May we be joy givers. May we be people that share the good news of Jesus Christ and how you have changed our lives and the desire that you have to change everything about their lives. God, may we be spreaders of your joy, of your good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.